Tuesday, January 27, 2015, and here are the stories we're covering this week. Adobe is trying to keep up with hackers who are repeatedly exploiting security flaws in their Flash software. An encrypted chat service is launching amid a controversial proposal in the European Union. Despite being blind, an Ontario woman is able to look at her newborn son thanks to technology. Ford wants to be seen as a technology innovator with its new center in Silicon Valley. Twitter is bringing 30-second video clips to the timeline. And Microsoft is reporting a more than 10% loss in revenue. These stories are coming right up. Don't go anywhere. Depending on where you're located in this big old world of ours, you may remember it as either the Sega Mega Drive or the Sega Genesis. And now, more than a quarter of a century after its original release in Japan, it's more convenient than ever to take these classic Sega games with you. My review is coming right up, so stick around.
Try it. Buy it.
Dermatis, and here are the top stories from the Category5.tv newsroom. Adobe has released an emergency patch for a flaw in its Flash software that was being widely exploited by thieves. The patch stops the flaw being exploited on some versions of Windows, Apple, and Linux operating systems. In addition, it is investigating reports that another previously unknown flaw is being used in a popular cybercrime kit sold online. The kit is favored by gangs who use malicious programs that demand a ransom after it encrypts important files. This particular exploit can be used to scramble files and demand a ransom, seek out banking details, or hijack ads on web pages as people browse. Adobe said it hoped to produce a patch for this other flaw this week, as the latest emergency patch did not fix it. So, Robbie, does that mean that they're actually selling a kit for thieves online?
Not necessarily even selling. I mean, sometimes it's available for free.
Yeah.
But, like, kits. So somebody figures out how to create these exploits, and then they release a kit that allows non-hackers, we call them script kiddies or whatever, to create viruses, malware, and things based on those exploits. So if I've determined, hey, you can hack by accessing through Adobe Flash, here's a kit that allows other people to do the same just by clicking a checkbox.
Wow. So that's like the bad guys being cooperative and sharing.
Collaborating. Yeah. Collaborating.
Wow. Well, that is bad news. All right. Well, way to go, Flash. Adobe. Internet entrepreneur Kim.com has released an encrypted chat service called MegaChat to compete with the Microsoft-owned Skype. Announcing the launch of the beta version of his MegaChat service, Mr.com said the video calling would gradually be followed by text chat service and video conferencing. The news came as it emerged a top EU official wants companies to be required by law to hand over encryption keys. The EU counterterrorism coordinator proposal follows a similar call by Prime Minister David Cameron. In a document leaked by the civil liberties group Statewatch, Gilles de Kerchov said encryption increasingly makes lawful interception by the relevant national authorities technically difficult or even impossible. Mr. Cameron said earlier this month that he wants internet firms to allow government to view encrypted messages in order to aid the security services. Mr.com.
I kind of smirked as soon as you said that. Yeah. Like, did anyone ever expect that we'd be saying Mr.com yeah. about someone?
Wow, questions, comments, thoughts, concerns about that. Mr.com. Other than that, I kind of like that he's coming up with Skype-related, like, I guess, competition.
It's crazy that the government is cracking down on encryption, saying, oh, we need access. Mm-hmm. And, you know, here we've got other people and companies that are trying to create encrypted methods of us communicating. Like, people maybe don't realize how insecure something like email is. So, you know, sometimes I'll have it happen where someone will email me a credit card number, and I'm like, no, don't do that ever. There are probably 1,000 people reading that same email that before it even gets to my inbox because it's unencrypted. So it basically like a plain text that I'm passing along, and anyone who sees it as it goes by can read. So if he's going to create a chat service that is encrypted, hypothetically that means that people can't eavesdrop, which means...
Government can't eavesdrop and figure out what you're up to.
The government can't. And then they step in and say, we can't have that now because what if there's terrorist activities going on or being coordinated through this platform? Legitimate concern, of course, but where do you draw the line as far as privacy goes?
Mm-hmm. Right. I don't know. Oh, this is the best news story I've read in a long time. Kathy Bates suffers from a disease that robbed her of most of her eyesight. But thanks to technology called eSight glasses, she's able to count her son's digits and see his smiling face. The glasses are essentially goggles equipped with a camera and LCD screens. Though somewhat bulky, the glasses fit over the wearer's face, where the screens transmit visual information in real time. Bates' sister, Yvonne Felix, is also blind. She and Taylor West, a spokesman for the company that makes the eSight glasses, join us to share how the technology works.
So essentially what eSight does is enhance functional vision for people that have that are legally blind or have what's called low vision. To do that, what we use is a camera that sits right over the bridge of the person's nose. And we through that camera, we capture a high-definition video that we're able to enhance in certain ways to make that video more palatable to someone's eyes so they get more information through the eye to the brain. The result is what wasn't there for someone that's legally blind with their natural eyesight becomes visible when they use eSight.
I have something called Stargardt's disease. 98% of my vision centrally is missing, and within the 2% of the visual field peripherally that I have left, it sort of looks like it's been washed out, so there are limitations to the detail and the depth and the distance that I can see. In terms of what the technology does, is it actually gives me central vision. So without it, I would just see a big blind spot. But with it, I can actually see faces. I can see, further away. I'm able to centrally, have functional vision just like you or anybody else that, basically it brings me from 2400 vision, which means what you see at 20 feet, 400 feet away, I need to see at 20 feet, it sort of levels the playing field and brings me to, the same sort of level. So I'm able to read again. I'm able to see far distances, see faces, and interact with people. Right away, there is magnification. And what that does is it brings objects right to my face. So it times it, like it's a 1.5 times magnification. So if, for example, if I were to look over at Taylor without the eyewear, just his head would be missing. But with the eyewear on, I'm able to see his eyes and his nose and his mouth. So he's very close to me. So right away, I'm able to get that close up. I'm able to see definitions. And then I'm able to control the contrast, so how much lighting I get. I'm able to define things. I'm able to, there's an autofocus, but I'm able also to manually focus. So I sort of have control of how the environment is coming into my eyes. Wear this in my purse. I can also plug this into my computer. I can plug it into a TV. So anything there where there's a screen involved, I can sort of plug it in and I can use the eyewear as my screen. So it's completely mobile, but it also allows me to sort of plug in digitally to media if I need to see it, like an iPhone or an iPad as well.
Sure. So you said it's been available for about a year, and we're available in both Canada and the U.S. at the moment. We're always looking to reach out to the blind and low vision community to make sure that people are aware that this is an option as something that can help them. If anyone would like to know more about eSight, we'd love to answer your questions. They can either visit Yvonne's microsite where her sister Kathy's video is posted, which is makeblindnesshistory.com. Or they can go to our company's website where lots of information is posted, and that's eSightEyewear.com.
According to the eSight website, the Canadian-made glasses are the only innovation of its type anywhere in the world that allow the legally blind to actually see. Though eSight aren't covered by Ontario's healthcare program, the company does have fundraising initiatives in place to help those who could benefit from a pair. For Bates, the glasses are priceless. She says, holding her son, when I got to see his smile, it does feel amazing. Incredible, heartwarming, awesome use of technology.
I love it.
I love it. I think that's so cool. Oh, it's just, it's wonderful.
Yay, technology!
Yes. Yeah. Way to go for doing something good for once.
Holy crap!
I just, if we could keep going along this route where we're really helping to, like, enable people that are limited in ways, you know, become more free with either hearing or sight or walking. I mean, there was just the self-lacing shoes on last week's news story, maybe 2 weeks ago.
And we've looked
I love
at the
it.
Beltone first hearing
the
aids.
The Beltone,
as well.
Exactly.
Similar kind of idea. Oh. Improving the quality of life.
So incredible. All right. Ford wants us to show that they're much more than just trucks and cars. They want to be seen as technology innovators. The Detroit automaker has long had a friendly relationship with technology. What with its SYNC infotainment platform, its support for third-party apps, and its investment in autonomous vehicles. But with its new research and innovation center located in Palo Alto, Ford is hoping to accelerate its relationship with technology even further. The new center isn't Ford's first venture into Silicon Valley, but it is a much bigger effort with a former Apple engineer at the helm, with significant experience in consumer electronics, semiconductors, aerospace, and automotive tech. Ford hopes to build a team of 125 professionals, which would make the company one of the largest dedicated automotive research teams in the Valley. Some of the projects that are already underway include collaborations with several universities and technology companies such as Google's Nest. You can, for example, set it so that a smart thermostat automatically switches your house to away mode when the vehicle leaves the driveway and have it flip back to normal mode when you're back home. The Nest Protect smoke detector can even send an alert to your in-car dash to let you know if something's wrong at home. Modular upgrades are also in the works. Instead of having to buy a new car to get the latest technology, you could just go to a dealer and have them swap out a hardware module. The module would contain just the core parts, like the processor, memory, and storage, leaving your dash screen and controls untouched. While the ideas are interesting, Ford is hardly the only automotive company dabbling in tech. Rivals like BMW, Mercedes, and Toyota have been in the Valley for some time. It's definitely not the only one tackling autonomous vehicles and some of its tech like Active Park Assist. Still, that's the idea behind the new facility, to develop technologies that will move forward not just newfangled ideas like self-driving cars, but the customer experience in general, which would make driving probably safer.
Sure it would. Yeah. I like the modular idea.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah. So you could really upgrade any car. I think that driving is definitely one of those things where the more help you get with it, the better.
Yes.
So way to go, Ford. Twitter is doing a massive upgrade as well. Twitter is upgrading its mobile apps to let users capture, edit, and post videos up to 30 seconds in length, as the social service looks to keep pace with rival Facebook, as well as offer an alternative to YouTube for brief clips. Twitter Director of Product Management, Jinan Kamdir, said in a blog post, "We designed our camera to be simple to use so that you can capture and share life's most interesting moments as they happen."
In 30 seconds or less.
As we know, Twitter is so good at letting people share their most interesting moments.
Yeah.
The idea is able to add short video clips to any Twitter conversation with just a few taps. According to Twitter, their 30-second video feature will complement Vine's 6-second long looping clips. Robbie, I'm worried about people's inability to stop themselves and think, should I share this?
Great. We got a 30-second video of the hamburger now.
Lovely.
It totally sounds like a Vine ripoff to me.
Oh, yeah, 100%. I was thinking the entire thing is like, that's literally Vine. It's
just a bit longer.
It's a longer version
of Vine.
It's not
the same. We made it 3 times as long. You know where I think this could be helpful, though, is that Twitter.com/search is it's become, at least for many of us, a news source. It's our place to get up to the second news. If you want to know, you know, if you're heading out in a snowstorm, what do? When we had that snowstorm, and if you watch Backstage Pass, you know we had a doozy of a snowstorm that Sasha got stuck in. I got home. But you know that the first thing that we did was we checked Twitter. Yeah. We used the Barry hashtag, and we checked what's the weather. And I said, you know, make sure you avoid Bayfield Street because it's bad. So that didn't help you. But...
No, it didn't help me at all.
When it comes to news stories, and as it happens news, which is what Twitter has become, is not just communication, but news... Doesn't it make sense that I should be able to post a quick video really, really simply from the app of the accident? But then it's a whole new danger.
Exactly.
As I'm driving by and...
Now everybody can be a rubbernecker. Unless Ford comes up with a technology where your car is driving itself.
We need to collaborate like the hackers. I see.
But then you wouldn't be watching an accident because all of the accidents would be completely avoided.
Yeah.
And then you get the eSight glasses and can see it on the screen.
I don't think this is going to help in a whiteout.
In a movie scenario, this could actually work.
That's right. Some sad news for Microsoft today. Microsoft profits fell more than 10% in the 3 months to the end of December from earlier this year. Or from the year earlier, sorry. They reported a net income of $5.86 billion, down 10.6% on the same quarter in 2013. The results included a $243 million charge for reorganizing the firm party due to the purchase of Nokia's phone business, which Microsoft bought in 2013. So, you know, that's a pretty big purchase, reorganizing. At $26.5 billion, Microsoft sales for the quarter were better than financial analysts had expected. Microsoft was helped by strong sales of its Xbox games console over the holiday season, having sold 6.6 million consoles during the quarter. Revenue from the licensing of Windows fell 13% in the last quarter of 2014 compared to the previous year. Microsoft is hoping the coming release of Windows 10 will boost its software division. I have a hard time feeling sorry for Windows when those numbers are so incredibly positive. 6.6 billion people just bought a game console. Kind of awesome.
Yeah. But I think, and I wonder why this doesn't come up in the news as well. I mean, we're comparing to last final quarter 2013.
Yes, that is correct.
Final quarter 2014. But remember that in April of 2014, Windows XP was deprecated. What's everybody doing in the final quarter of 2013? They're buying all new computers in time for Christmas, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, all the stores have their blowouts. Mm-hmm. And so is it really an accurate comparison? Can we really say that they're down 10%? Well, no, they were... Were they up? I don't know, but I would think they would have been up because of the whole Microsoft Windows XP.
They're down, I guess, from their projected earnings.
Is that? Are those earnings based on the previous
year? Yeah, it's complicated. And
it doesn't really make
sense. It does twist it and spin it in a sort of negative way, but they really are doing quite well.
Sasha, if I can just back up a little bit. If that's the end of that story.
It is.
I don't want to step on stories, but chat room just mentioned that Twitter actually acquired Vine, which is interesting as we think about it as a competitor. So are they actually...
Not a competitor. It's
not really a competitor.
It's a, hey, we're doing you did a thing. Cool. We're going to do the same thing, but we're the same company. So, hey.
They actually bought it back in October 2012, according to Wikipedia. So that... I'm just out of the loop with Vine because I'm not really into 6-second videos. But
well, you don't have to be into 6-second videos now. Now you can have 30-second videos.
There you go.
Wow. Well, Twitter, way to make a smart business move. I feel like Twitter's playing chess a little bit. Awesome. Now, for all your tech news with a slight Linux bias, visit the Category5.tv newsroom at newsroom.category5.tv. For the Category5.tv newsroom, I'm Sasha Dermatis.